We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
And you know, we will try to break the ice today on some Democrat hypocrisy. One of the people that Democrats love to hate the most has made a mistake. It wasn't a big deal. But boy, does it give Steve Kathan at CBS News the chance to first thing mentioned on the top of the hour CBS News right off the bat. And of course, the newspapers are going wild with it. And it is much ado about nothing. But it's a big thing about it is there are two people out there that deserve this kind of vitriol. One of them is the governor of New York State. The other is the president of these United States, who called it a day yesterday morning at 8. At 8 o'clock, he told the media, nothing more with me after 8 o'clock. I'm sleeping in. I'm canceling my trips. I'm not going to tour the vaccine plant. I'm going to sleep. So leave me the hell alone. I'm Joe Biden. And Kamala, you take over the presidency for the rest of the day. And she did. So don't give me this stuff about Ted Cruz. But we will be talking about it. Don't worry. And I don't know if Jim Cardle has the same thought on it that I do or not, but we'll see. Here's the situation in Austin. The roads are still messy. We had another freeze last night, another hard freeze, and so it's a little tough out there on the streets still. By noonish or so today, that will not be the case. We're going to have a warm today. We're going to get into the upper 30s, maybe 40 by noonish or so. I am going to get out of here for the first time, really, since Sunday afternoon, and so's Casey, and it has been an adventure. And I told Casey, when you write your book, at least I'm going to be in it. The other story that I want to mention very quickly, and we may talk about this throughout the morning, is the situation with ERCOT. There is a lot of finger-pointing going on. And, you know, this amazes me. Is ERCOT to blame? Is it the governor himself? Because remember what Sid Miller said on this air yesterday morning? I asked him whose head should roll. First name out of his mouth was Greg Abbott. And I'm thinking, was it really Abbott's fault? Maybe we didn't pay these guys at ERCOT enough. We've checked on their salaries, by the way, and we have them, and we will be telling you that. I want you to hear Dan Woodfin, Senior Director of System Operations for ERCOT. Remember that R in ERCOT does not stand for Republican. It stands for reliability. And that's what those guys are charged with doing. And as Jim and I have talked about, they are charged with doing it with the weapons and the budget and the direction that they get from the elected class, the governor, the lieutenant governor, so on down the line, and the state legislature that makes the laws. This guy said yesterday and created some waves by saying it, what you're about to hear him say. The question was, how close did we come to a total, complete, catastrophic failure, meaning a total blackout of this state? Here's cut five.
So we were at a level of frequency which was one that needed to be addressed immediately, and that's what the operators did. So I think, you know, if we hadn't taken action, it wouldn't have been that we would have waited a few days and saw what happened. It was seconds and minutes. Given the amount of generation that was coming off the system at the same time that the demand was still going up significantly.
Jim Cardle, seconds and minutes?
Yeah, that's pretty concerning, Lynn. I would, on the one hand, hope that what he's saying is accurate. On the other hand, I'm of the mind that you think, oh my gosh, surely that's not accurate. This is going to be a long, drawn out, and I think very politicized now process whereby ERCOT is going to be looked at starting next Thursday by the State House two legislative committees, the State Affairs Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committee, are going to hold a joint hearing on Thursday. Be interesting to see how they do that remotely or to what extent public comment might be taken if it goes more than one day. This needs to be looked at, Lynn. You're right. The salary levels of these people have been coming out. Sid Miller said, our ag commissioner said yesterday on our air, appreciate him coming on, that these people need to have some accountability. There needs to be transparency. Heads do need to roll, quote unquote. So it is a absolute mess. It's a concern for Texas, as Sid Miller said, because it's an embarrassment for Texas. And Lord knows a lot of Northeastern folks and others across the country always love to hate on Texas if they can. So that'll be a concern. And then on top of that, you're right. You mentioned Ted Cruz. He's really stepped in it. We got to talk about that as well.
Because Ted Cruz didn't step in anything, in my opinion. What has happened is the major media that hates him, and they hate him because he's conservative, is stepping on him. All right, Jim, are you ready for the big debate?
I am.
We'll do it after the break. We'll play Ted Cruz's clip. You can tell me what you think, and we will talk about whether it benefits the cause of liberalism and socialism, or whether it benefits the cause of freedom and conservatism, to maybe give Ted Cruz a bit of a break here. Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Jim Cardle, Lynn Woolley, and nothing, ain't nothing like us on in the morning in Austin. So please tell your friends. Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Often you go down, way down in Mexico. There's a place Ted Cruz wants to go to get away from it all. Texas is insane. Lines for hours just to get propane. No more water with bleach, just miles of beach if he can catch that plane. So off to Cancun he goes. Houston and Austin, shut the door, don't let the frost in. LaGrange, LaVon, we can't turn our lights on. Bishop Hill, Pflugerville, indoors with charcoal grills.
Texas wants to warm his bones and find a plug where he can charge his phone. That's where he wants to go. Cancun in Mexico.
Mobidi, Poteet, we still can't feel our feet. Ted almost got away until that pic of him on the plane. He blamed his girls as he explained that he was coming right back. Yeah, right. That was a line, no doubt. It was his neighbors who ratted him out. Now the hashtags and memes will haunt his dreams no matter how loud he shouts.
No more Cancun, Mexico,
Plano, Laredo. Our house is filled sub-zero, Abilene, Palestine.
Okay, you know what? That's clever. I'll give him credit as a songwriter, and I often write songs with the word Austin in it, and you try to rhyme Austin, and this guy closed the door and don't let the frost in. Get it, Jim?
I guess so.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. Give me your best case. Give me your best case why Ted Cruz is a cad and an evil man and a bad guy for taking this trip to Cancun.
Well, it's very simple. It's the word hypocritical and being a hypocrite. Here, we've just gotten off of 2 or 3 months full of fun and, I think, objective criticism about Steve Adler, Mayor Cabo Steve, as we refer to him exactly, having gone to Cabo and then sent a video back home saying people should shelter in place and do for thee, but not for me. And now Ted Cruz has been caught with his, you know, hand out, pants down, ticket in hand, and you name the analogy. But he's, from what I've heard, clip-wise, admitted that he was changing his plans. He has come back. He had been caught. And as I said yesterday, Lynn, sometimes people get elected to political office and politics makes your brain do strange things.
Okay, all right.
This is now, just beyond me.
Why did we make fun of Steve Adler? Explain that. Why did we make fun of Steve Adler when he went to Cabo?
Because he said one thing for thee and another thing
for
me.
That's right. Now tell me, Casey, can we play the clip where Ted Cruz told everybody else to stay at home, don't get out, go do anything, don't go anywhere, don't take a trip? I don't know that that cut exists. If he may have said it. I'm not saying he didn't, but I don't know of him. And he certainly doesn't have any authority to do that. He's a congressman. He's not the mayor of a city. He's not in an executive position. He only makes rules for other people when he votes for them in the Senate. So there's the hypocrisy thing there. It can be debated. Now, I have some questions for you, Jim. Number one,
all right.
Did Ted Cruz tell other people to stay home? Number two, did he end his day at 8 a.m. and tell the people that he would not be available anymore? Well, Joe Biden
did that
yesterday.
Irrelevant.
He send infected people to nursing homes and cause 15,000 deaths? Did he close Texas like Newsom closed California? So here's what I'm saying. Ted Cruz is a force for good. Joe Biden is a force for evil. Newsom is a force for evil. Cuomo is a force for evil. Cuomo's a butthead. I mean, there's no other way. Well, there is, but I can't say it. Cuomo killed maybe up to 15,000 people. Ted Cruz is right on the issues. I agree with him on virtually everything that he does, and especially in Texas, I agree with him on immigration. And I think what we're doing when we join the left wing and the liberals in blasting Ted Cruz like CBS did at the top of the hour, what we are doing is cutting off our nose to spite our face, and I'm not going to participate in it.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. You're talking a little bit about what this new phrase called whataboutism. When your team does something, you point to the other team's faults and say, what about them? As if it's a justification, two wrongs don't make a right. But I agree with you, Lynn. I mean, we've got the mayor of Del Rio, Texas, down on the border saying in a video to President Biden, quit having ICE do the catch and release in my community. We're already slammed and short of resources for our own citizens with this pandemic and with this freeze. We need help. There are real issues. Nancy Pelosi needs to be moving on a coronavirus relief bill, theoretically up in Washington, or maybe some infrastructure or doing something else. There is a prioritization that is being misplaced by our mainstream corporate criminal sock puppet, as Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, used to say, drive-by media. So I agree with you totally, Lynn. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have to mention the name Ted Cruz for the rest of the show, and I'd be just fine with that.
Well, it's not just that. Look, you mentioned Bruno Lozano, who is the mayor of Del Rio, is begging President Biden to essentially stop doing stupid things that are harming his community. And let me say this about Cruz. It seems like we're dumping on Ted Cruz because he's not staying in Texas to solve this. Let me ask you a question. If you're Greg Abbott, if you're Dan Patrick, do you want Ted Cruz knocking on your door and telling you what to do? Or do you say, hey, you're a national guy. You're in the United States Congress. Yes, you represent Texas, but thank you very much. We'll make the laws and decisions here.
I think you and I just agreed, Lynn, that we shouldn't mention the name Ted Cruz.
Oh, I think
not.
I don't have any problem with it. I want to take this issue on. But what gets me is that CNN will delight in this when they won't mention Hunter Biden. So there's lot of more hypocrisy going on here than just Ted Cruz. And in all honesty, it was not up to Ted Cruz to fix this problem. I don't really know that Congress needs to get involved. Maybe they do, but we'll see. In the meantime, this is Abbott's deal and ERCOT's deal, and they need to fix it.
It wasn't Ted Cruz's job to fix. You're totally correct on that. And the media is clearly playing gotcha. That's part of what boosts their ratings these days. And I'm not going to take the woolly bait, I don't think, if I can help it here and step in it myself before we go to break, Lynn Woolley.
Before we go to break, let's listen to Ted Cruz. He changed his story around a little bit here and there, trying to get out from under the heat. But this is really short. Here's Ted telling a group of reporters what happened and that he made a mistake. Cut three.
It was obviously a mistake, and in hindsight, I wouldn't have done it. We've got two girls who have been cold for two days and haven't had heater power, and they're saying, hey, look, we don't have school. Why don't we go? Let's get out of here. I think there are a lot of parents that'd be like, all right, let me, if I can do this, great.
Okay, now, you know what he could have done, Jim?
What?
Would have been really nice.
What?
Okay, he bought
three. Sent Lynn Woolley with him?
No. Well, I might have gone. No, actually, I never want to go to Mexico for the rest of my life. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Okay.
I didn't lose anything there, and I don't need to go. But look at the cost, the round-trip ticket cost for three airplane tickets, and maybe double that or triple it because he's not hurting for money, and give that money to some charity that was providing blankets or heating centers or warming centers for people like that poor guy in Abilene that froze to death yesterday sitting in his reclining chair. That would have been a good feel-good story. It would have helped some people. But on the whole, this is a state issue that it's up to Abbott. And all right, we do have to get out of here. Let's do that right now. And Jim, we will be back. There's a lot going on. Maybe we'll get to some things other than just the weather and the freezing today, but there's plenty more of that to talk about too. And by the way, our telephone lines are up and functioning. Thank goodness. Talk 1370, the right choice, and you can reach us at 512-643-5483. We'll be right back.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
You betcha. We are here in beautiful downtown Fargo. It was what it feels like. And Talk 1370. Jim, we've been without phone lines, and now we have them. 512-643-5483. Because obviously somebody somewhere trudged out into the ice and snow fighting the dark of night and frostbite and all those kinds of things and got some stuff fixed. Our water is back on here at Talk 1370. We didn't have it for most of the afternoon and night, and we're still under a boil water order for the entire city. You know, I'd like to pick up on this Ted Cruz theme and just move it ahead just a little bit.
Because you
talked about the hypocrisy situation. Here's the deal with Joe Biden, and I think that the hypocrisy is palpable right now. Biden announced yesterday that he's postponing a trip to Michigan. He was supposed to tour a Pfizer vaccine-making plant. Then he called it 8 a.m. lid on his day-to-day, meaning that he will not be seen in public for the rest of the day. And the reason given for that is because D.C. is getting snow, and the New York Post says that he is shaping up to probably be the least seen chief executive in decades. And while he is not doing anything, Kamala Harris is essentially acting president. What do you think CNN will say about that?
I would say CNN will not say much. I would guess they're going to toe the company line whether or not Jeff Zucker, their leader and chief executive, is on his way out by the end of the year or not. They're going to continue to do what they've been doing, Lynn, and that is serve as a propaganda arm, a advocacy machine. And in the meantime, I think that you're right. We did agree to not mention the name Ted Cruz again. And
no, wait a minute. One of us agreed to do that.
You're diving right back into it.
One of us agreed to do that. Let me ask you about this. There's another Texan gem that is on the national radar now. This is a story by Michael Dorstweets in Newsmax. Okay. It's about a day old now, but talking about Paxton. And he says Paxton is the subject of a witch hunt. Now, you know Paxton far better than I do. I'm not sure. I can't remember ever having interviewed him. But he's being targeted now in Texas, has been for a while, and that has gone national now. The big national networks are on to this Paxton story, and the latest is about him accepting a bribe. It involves Nate Paul and all that sort of thing. According to documents obtained by the Texas Tribune, which is another story. I've got an amazing Texas Tribune headline I want to hit you with. But what do you think? I mean, Texas has a couple of really conservative politicians, several actually. And now this whole weather thing and ERCOT thing is going to give the national media the chance to unload on Greg Abbott. They're already unloading on A.G. Paxton, and they specifically despise Ted Cruz because he's a true conservative. Are they going to take the place of Donald Trump at CNN?
They despise. Well, you're right, Lynn. They do despise. As human beings, we're known to despise each other for various and sundry reasons. You're saying they despise Ted Cruz because he's a conservative. I would like to add to the thought process that they may despise Ted Cruz for either being hypocritical, which it's yet to be determined in this instance, or at a minimum, lacking good judgment. Lynn, when Ted Cruz says from the, and I heard this on the CBS ticker a second ago, I had second thoughts almost from the moment I sat down in the airline seat. If he doesn't have any more common sense as a state senator, a former presidential candidate who wanted to occupy the desk and the Oval Office, he better have thought a little more and have a more robust thought process than to wait until his sweet fanny's hitting the cushion in the airplane. I think that's a legitimate point. But on the other hand, this is the issue these days, is that there's Ted Cruz, there's Ken Paxton on the one hand, both of which have established stellar conservative records voting in legislating and as elected officials, which is enough to get you on the enemy list. But then also, secondly, Mr. Paxton does have some issues. So this is going to be a problematic discussion, but that doesn't mean there aren't positive things in amongst the pile of, you know what, as Ronald Reagan used to say, I'm digging through this pile of horse hockey because maybe there's a horse in here somewhere. It'll make good radio, to say the least.
Well, I'm a little bit more worried about good policy, but I think you actually hit the problem on the head right there with Ted Cruz. He had a little lapse in judgment there. Nobody's hurt by it, except maybe him and his reputation. There's a little bit of a lapse in judgment. Do you remember a couple of days ago, Jim Cardle, we played a clip by what I think is the biggest elitist snob in the history of the United States. I mean, maybe jackass's jackass. And we're talking about John Kerry. This guy has all that, ketchup money from marrying,
John Hines, senator who died.
Teresa Hines.
And he remarried the senator's wife.
Exactly. Yeah. So somebody unearthed a clip of him, and he was in Iceland at a global warming conference, and he had flown over in his private jet. Uh-huh. And in so doing, he had put so much carbon in the air, much more than if he'd flown commercially. And some reporter in Iceland asked him about that. And Kerry says, well, in his pompous voice, he says, well, flying commercial does not work for people like me.
That's a good imitation. And he has
I didn't hear
an
Ted
arrogant,
say
pompous.
Like
he and Ted, he and Al Gore and on the right are some of the favorites. Ted Cruz and probably Ken Paxton now on the left. But here's the thing that you're talking about, Lynn, is attack the sin and not the sinner is always a good perspective that you and my friend Peggy Venable taught me once about 10 or 15 years ago. She used to work for the Reagan White House. And here's the thing. We got plenty of issues to be concerned about. And when John Kerry and the rest of the socialist Democrats are trying to advance unserious, I think clearly now, unserious discussions and policy initiatives to pass a Green New Deal to have a lower carbon footprint, we are in the middle of Harvard case study number one, showing that this country and this state needs to get serious about our energy security.
Yeah, I absolutely, we do. And by the way, yesterday on this very show, I quoted a guy by the name of Chuck DeVore, and he had, had some explanations that were being used in the Wall Street Journal. And we have Chuck DeVore scheduled to be on with us this morning right after CBS at the top of the next hour. And that should be a fascinating discussion.
And he's a former citizen of the great state of the we call it the Socialist Republics of Travis. He used to be a Senate candidate out in California. And this is what we need to do, Lynn. It's not if we have fallen and stay down. It's how we get back up. As football great Coach Lombardi said, it's what you do with your situation. We got to look at this and make Texas a better place. And by the way, I'm looking on the Facebook cam. I love that nice blue shirt that you're sporting today.
No, thank you. I was able to get to the Micro Mansion yesterday and bring a new shirt. We were starting to run through the shirts that I had brought, not thinking we would spend more than a night or two. And I did bring a lot, but it, you know, when I get to the mansion today, I will hit the shower first thing, and I'm going to stay in there for about an hour. Okay, let's see. We've got about a minute to go here. I want to ask you about this whole thing and on the gouging. What is your opinion? I mean, Travis County has an order now prohibiting price gouging. Yes. And also halt foreclosures. And the thing is, they put some teeth in it. This order is threatening penalties of up to $10,000 per violation, along with additional penalties of up to $250,000 if the violation was aimed at consumers of 65 or older. What happened to the day when something is worth what somebody will pay for it? And if it's your piece of property and you want to sell it, you can put whatever price tag on it you want.
Well, that's a legitimate question. I think the interesting thing here, Lynn Woolley, is that, again, a Travis County court, the judges in this, the judge and county commissioners in this instance, they're talking about running our lives. I don't know that there's anybody out there to be price gouged, to be honest with you, if he had gotten out about. But again, they're trying to exercise their holier-than-thou government edict from on high. It's a little more socialism than I'm comfortable with. I don't know about the practical impacts, though, frankly.
Well, price gouging has a positive effect in some cases, and it is absolutely true. It's counterintuitive. But if you go into a Sam's or a Costco and there's no price, they have raised the price of any of the toilet paper, you're tempted to buy maybe five or six batches of it, and the next guy doesn't get anything. And the price gouging sort of keeps that more spread out. And yes, businesses can put limits, but let me play a clip of tape for you. Can I say that? Did you say or that I could or could not? I can't remember, Jim. Say the name Ted Cruz.
No, and no.
Okay. Well, can I say Steve Adler?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's Steve Adler talking about Ted Cruz.
And, oh, great.
And which Guthrie is this? Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show.
Yes.
All right, take a listen to this. Mayor Steve Adler with Savannah Guthrie about Ted Cruz. Cut 9.
You know, I am entirely focused on getting food and water to the people in my community that don't have it this morning. I'll leave those issues to Senator Cruz and his voters. But I'm trying to pull people together because we have a real big task in front of us here over the next couple of days.
All right. So no thoughts on that. You don't care to return the favor to Senator Cruz?
I am going to stay focused on getting water and food to the people in my community.
I can analyze that all day. Do you want to take a shot at it?
You could hear the irony in his voice. It's and Savannah Guthrie again playing the gotcha game. But I do want to hear what Lynn Woolley's analysis.
Oh well,
says.
I didn't care what Adler said was of little interest to me. I mean, he's guiltier than Cruz because he told people not to do what he did, and Cruz did not.
Yeah.
What I saw in that was the absolute delight in Savannah Guthrie's voice.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a strong movement style conservative that we can destroy. And boy, she wants to do it. All right, Jim, we've got some more from His Honor the Mayor. Happened about an hour ago on the Today Show. And we will have that for you when we come back. Jim Cardle is in the affluent suburbs. Lynn Woolley here in the just restored water district of of Westland. And we'll be right back. Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Keeping Austin logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, Cardle and Woolley is back on the air. And Jim Cardle, we were talking this morning about ERCOT saying that we were seconds or minutes away from a catastrophic failure of our electric grid. I guess what we had was not a catastrophic failure. Maybe it was a semi-catastrophic failure, but when you're in your apartment or you're in your house and you got no water and you got no electricity, to you, that's pretty catastrophic. So it's pretty interesting. Steve Adler was on the Today Show this morning. We were talking about an hour or so ago with Savannah Guthrie,
okay.
And she asked him a probing question. What's the latest this morning? And here's the answer. Cut six.
Well, I tell you, it feels like it's just one thing after another after another. You're right about the power. We had about 220,000 people, customers, off. We're back now down to 16,800 customers. Some of these 16,800 have been without power now for almost a week. It's a pretty dire situation for them. Now it's going to thaw out today, which is a good thing. But I'm real nervous about the number of pipes we're going to find that have been busted, additional water leaks. And now that the power's coming back on, I had a plant go down. The pressure went down in the city, so we're on a water boil right now throughout the city for the people that for the people that have water.
All right, and how did it come to this? Cut seven.
I don't think you can explain it in a way that anybody can understand. Obviously, we were just not prepared for those cold temperatures. We're going to see those cold temperatures more and more. This is the third time that I've seen it. We have a deregulated power system at the state, and it doesn't work because they're not built in the incentives in order to protect people, and that has to change. I understand that our governor took responsibility for it yesterday. And he and the state leaders need to, because this shouldn't happen. They need to change the system, the regulatory system, how we do power.
I'm going to call BS on that one, Mr. Mayor. What we have is too much regulation. We have subsidies for types of power that aren't reliable. And if we didn't have the subsidies and we let the marketplace do this, we wouldn't have had this problem. So, Mr. Mayor, no, I'm not taking your baloney on this. Let's go to clip eight here where he's talking about hospitals, and then we'll get back to Mr. Cardle. But I have an amazing hospital story to tell you that you won't hear anywhere else. So hang on for that. And on the hospitals, on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie, our Mayor Steve Adler, cut eight.
Well, we're doing better right now, but I tell you, it was really dicey, and it still is in some hospitals, but it's happening all over. First, we have the power issues, then we have the water issues. We had one hospital that we were looking to hook up to a fire hydrant out front in order to keep water pressure in the building for the boilers. So it is constant hands-on crews working in order to keep the hospitals open and working.
All right. I got this from some people at Dell Children's, and let me see if I can clean it up a little bit. These are from actual tweets from people that work at Dell Children's. The water stopped at the hospital Wednesday morning, still isn't on. It may be by now, but this is in the the tweet. We head to you-know-what, into cat litter buckets. Today, we transported donated cat litter to Dell Children's Hospital in Austin. The staff and patients were literally using cat litter in trays to go to the bathroom. Jim, this, they're saying this was moments away from being catastrophic. That sounds relatively catastrophic to me.
Putting the cat, C-A-T, in catastrophic.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lynn. That's absolutely abysmal and overly over the top concerning. But because it's in a hospital where we're needing, you know, electricity, and again, you and I have talked about it, we're going to probably see some of these serious life-threatening or life-costing repercussions coming out in the coming days and weeks of folks stuck at home. But you're exactly right. What we need to remember is that in 2015, 5 or 6 short years ago, only 11% of the state's electricity was generated by wind and power. Now it's up to 23%. It's not reliable. We got to talk about
it. Yeah, we sure do. All right, and we'll be back very soon, so don't go away. Talk to 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley, we'll be back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Well, you know, as Jim Cardle and I get the morning going for you here in the nation's 11th largest city, there's a couple of things that I want to mention here. Jim Cardle is in the affluent suburbs this morning. I am here in Studio Central, Studio L, I always like to call it, but... you know, there's a conflict out there as to what the problem is. People on the left are telling us that we don't have enough alternative fuel, that we don't have enough alternative energy, renewable energy. If we just invest in more renewable energy, that would fix everything. People on the right are saying, wait a minute, the windmills were frozen down. That was a problem. Chuck DeVore is an American politician, according to his... entry in Wikipedia, who served as a Republican member of the California State Assembly. He's now in Austin at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's vice president of national initiatives, and he's on the phone with us now. Chuck, I saw yesterday where I believe you were quoted in the editorial in the Wall Street Journal. So straighten this out for us, will you? What exactly is the problem? What does Texas need more of, and what should we do?
Well, thank you, and good morning. We need more reliable power, and we need relatively less of the unreliables. That would be wind and solar. How we got into this position is a combination of what happened on Sunday night and Monday morning, and then what's been happening over the last 20 years because of the heavy federal and state, unfortunately, subsidies for wind and solar. In the last 5 years, we've added about 20,000 megawatts of wind and solar, and we've subtracted a net of about 3,000 megawatts of reliable coal and natural gas generation. And just ask yourself this question, right? On Sunday night and Monday morning, as temperatures were plummeting, and as the modest amount of electricity from the wind turbines that we were expecting was cut in half, which was a small problem that got a lot bigger because the safety margins were very, very narrow. In fact, they were non-existent. So ask yourself this question. Would things have been better then if we had 1,000 more wind turbines in Texas and one fewer coal-fired power plant? And I think it's pretty obvious what the answer is. If we had 1,000 more wind turbines and one less coal-fired power plant, there would have been a lot more damage. A lot more people would have been shivering in the dark. And so how we got here was about 20 years of policy. And then on Sunday night, Monday morning, ERCOT, the state's independent system operator, was asleep at the switch. They didn't start pulling down power quickly enough when a few thermal plants started to fail because of the very cold conditions. And as a result, the grid started to go unstable. And when that happens, additional power plants tripped offline to protect themselves. Because if the grid is unstable, it's going to damage power lines. It's going to damage transformers and substations, and it's going to damage the equipment and the power plants themselves. So they have to trip offline to protect that equipment. Otherwise, there'd be a lot more damage. And so that's how we got into this mess. It's a bit complex, but it isn't what the environmental left and their friends in the media are trying to tell us.
Jim?
I tell you, Chuck, thanks for joining us today. What it appears to me is not complex is the socialist Democrat, the presidential campaign discussion, or maybe lack thereof, the lack of serious, and I mean serious, life and death serious as a heart attack approach to our nation's quote unquote energy security. Donald Trump in the state of Texas delivered us through the free market system, energy independence. Now the pendulum swung the other way. We're going back a little bit more to the left and some of these government mandates for windmills and solar panels. Does this nation need to become a little more serious about our energy security?
Well, I think we do. And here's the challenge, right? As you add wind and solar to a grid, you're more or less able to cover contingencies up to about 20% penetration of the total amount of power by wind and solar. When you start to go above 20%, what begins to happen is the economics of the system become extremely distorted. And as a result, people who operate thermal plants, gas, coal, nuclear, are not able to make the profit that they need to make to stay in business.
Uh-huh.
And why is that important? That's important because those are the plants that provide the reliability and resiliency for the grid. Those are the plants that are there when you need them, not wind and solar that generate only when they feel like it, depending on the weather. And so what ends up happening is the cost of the reliability gets socialized. And what that means is we pay for it. The rate payers pay for the fact that wind and solar isn't there when you need it. And what we need to do in Texas to have a true cost for wind and solar is we need to tell them, if you're going to connect to our Texas grid, you have to guarantee the power that you owe the grid. And if you do that by building a huge and expensive battery farm, okay, that's fine. Of course, when things got really cold, the batteries that we do have in Texas were only at 40% capacity because batteries don't work really well in the cold, right? The other thing they could do is they could pay for having natural gas peaker plants on standby. But either way, what you're going to see is the true cost of wind and solar will soar because in America in 2021, we expect the grid to be reliable. We're not a third world country where the power is going to be on 8 hours a day at random times. We're not going to live that way, right?
And let me ask you, Chuck, because you're talking about what to do and not do. You've had some experience in a previous life with your political career out in California. What can you recommend that maybe we focus on or put off the table real quick?
Well, sure. In California, of course, the blackouts that have become a more frequent feature out there have been coming for a long time. And I've been warning about California's energy policies. Unfortunately, Texas has kind of adopted the same policies on autopilot because of the tax incentives that we provide wind and solar, and the federal government provides them. We need to address that, and we need to get our market squared away where we assign a value to resiliency and to reliability. Right now, we don't value those two attributes, and as a result, if we don't change anything, things will only get worse in Texas.
Chuck, every couple of years, most people get a notice from their power provider, and it's time to re-up, and they try to get you to re-up, and in my case, I never re-up with the same one. I always change because the new customers always get the best deals. But one of the things I have learned here is when you go to powertochoose.org, which is, in my opinion, a website that should be outlawed because it doesn't help. It's not very helpful. But they are constantly providing you with this propaganda on there that we're so much renewable, or you can get all renewable, all green energy from us. Is this something that these electric companies are promoting because they're woke?
Well, they're promoting it because there's been hundreds of millions of dollars spent over the last several decades by the environmental left and the earned media with their friends in corporate media saying that we have to do this, right? That that this is needed to save the planet. And meanwhile, of course, China mines about four or five times as much coal as we do every year, and they plan to add an entire equivalent of the U.S. coal fleet in just the next few years in China. So here's the point, though, about these companies that are touting their renewables. It's all a mirage, and it's a mirage because if you were hooked up, if your house was hooked up to, let's say, a West Texas wind field and solar power field, and that was the only electricity you had, then your house would be only powered about, oh, maybe two-thirds of the time. And the reason why the lights don't go out on your house for 5 or 6 hours a day when you've signed up to one of these unreliable producers is because it's connected to the grid. And so you're actually getting energy from natural gas and nuclear and coal much of the day, even while you virtue signal and say, oh, you know, I've got a green electrical contract, right? That's where I get my energy. No, you don't. You're on the grid, right? So a good portion of the electrons you're getting that power your house are coming from nuclear and coal and gas. They're not coming just from wind and solar. If they were, you'd have blackouts all day long.
All right, well, we'll have to leave it there, Chuck, for time, but I want people to remember this interview, if they heard it, right here on Talk 1370 with Chuck DeVore, the Vice President of National Initiatives at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. The next time some electric company pitches you all this green energy, just think about it. And the next time the left tells you that the problem lies with our natural gas, it doesn't lie with the wind and solar, remember what the truth really is. Chuck DeVore, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Talk 1370, the right choice. Jim Cardle, Lynn Woolley. And we can take some calls now. 512-643-5483. When we come back, Joe Biden has been in touch with Greg Abbott. As you might expect, I have some thoughts on that, and I'll bet Jim Cardle does too. Back in a minute.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Well, taking the vital issues of the day, stripping them of their emotion, and analyzing them with the logic of forethought, Jim Cardle out in the affluent suburbs, Lynn Woolley here at Talk 1370 Inn and Suites. I have packed my sleeping bag. I'm going to head down to Temple or up to Temple. Is it up to, Temple, where the mansion is located, and was looking forward to all the nice clean water, but no. Due to an unexpected water main break, a boil water notice now in effect for citizens of Temple anywhere east of I-35. So they found the break, and they're trying to glue it back together, and hopefully that will work out. But when I get there, it's going to be more of what we got here. Now, Jim Cardle, here's a story on our CBS Roundup that we get every morning from the network. President Biden spoke with Governor Abbott yesterday, offered support to the people of Texas during the winter weather crisis impacting the state. Biden stated that the federal government will continue working with state and local officials on mending the issues impacting Texans at this time. And Biden stated that Texas will be offered any federal support necessary from his administration. It's a nice gesture. Give him that. But what should our answer as Texans be to Joe Biden? What should we tell him in response to this, Jim?
Well, I don't know what exactly you're talking about when you're talking or asking about a response. I mean, clearly the federal government and the state government have to work together in a national emergency. This is not only about Texas. It's impacting Arkansas, Oklahoma, the entire central United States region. The state of Texas has to deal with cities and counties, as we've been talking about, with Mayor Adler and the Travis County folks announcing some things. So frankly, I think the biggest conundrum here may be that it appears that our Republican governor and a Democrat White House are actually coordinating and working together, and we don't kind of really know how to respond to see actual cooperation and healing and unity. But this is a time of crisis, and I don't know that there's anything to analyze other than let's get after it and figure out how to how we can be better managers of similar situations in the future.
Yeah, that's interesting. The president of the United States, who has just gotten us back into the Paris Climate Accords and is who's going to cram the Green New Deal down our throat, I would have said, yeah. Mr. President, thank you. You know, we very well may need some of your help. We'll gladly accept what will work here. But you need to know that our problem in Texas was caused by subsidizing something that isn't dependable and isn't reliable. And you're about to make that happen nationwide and even trying to do it worldwide. And we need to, when this is over, we need to sit down and talk about this, because the lessons that we are learning in Texas right now are something you need to know about, Mr. President.
So
I'll be willing to fly up to Washington on a day when you're not sleeping in from snow.
No.
And let's talk about this.
No, you don't need to go to Washington. You need to go back to the Greg Kassar School of Compassion. You're not talking about how to win friends and influence people if you say, yes, I'll take your federal assistance, but by the way, here's my opinion and a hot poke in the eye. That's not how we're going to get things accomplished. Are you really thinking that that's going to be a constructive line of analysis? We got people dying almost in their homes across this state, across this nation. We got 590 public water systems in 140 Texas counties with disruptions. We got real problems. I'm going to leave the philosophical pontifications to the side and see what we can do to get after some.
I'm not sure I would have taken the call. I'm not even sure I would have. I don't know. He's the president of the United States, but he's wrong on everything. Right now, we've got a mayor.
We've got a mayor in
Texas begging him to stop dumping immigrants into Del Rio.
That's a bunch.
Yes,
of
we do. That's a totally separate issue. We're talking about getting water on and getting heat on.
This is true. Okay, so what you're saying is take whatever we can get from the federal government and then. I guess
try to deal with stopping the Biden agenda as we can later. What I'm saying is you treat others like you want them to treat you, for Pete's sake.
Oh, my gosh. If we treated them like they treat us, we'd be in the street fighting right now. Jim, let me give you something that we've been researching here. You brought it up this morning before we went on the air. What do you think some of the people at ERCOT make, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas? What do you think they
pull in? Too much is the answer to that. Too much.
Well, we have the exact figures. William Magnus, who is a board member and the president and CEO. Now, these are not head coach salaries. Don't misunderstand me. These are
not head coach salaries. Yeah, but we need to warn people to sit down nonetheless. This is going to make you ill.
Yeah, probably so. So the CEO of ERCOT makes $883,264 a year. Steve Daniels, the vice president of application services, makes a measly $317,839 a year.
Are those the ones that live in Michigan or Germany that Sid Miller
don't have a column for that.
Yes.
Sally Betty Day, who is the VP of Governance, Risk, and Compliance. These are titles. We don't even know what this means. She makes $350,934 a year. Jerry Dreyer, Senior Vice President and CEO and CIO, that'd be Chief Information Officer, I guess.
I believe so, yeah.
Makes $468,394. Jim, I'm going to point out, this guy, William Magnus, the CEO that makes $883,000 a year, that's more than you and I make combined.
I don't care what you're talking about, Lynn, or what pay salary you're comparing it to. This ought to be under the microscope. This has got to be close to being somewhat tongue-in-cheek criminal. You have got people suffering, billions of dollars of insurance claims about to be filed across the state, all unnecessary, or not all unnecessary, but to many instances or to a large degree unnecessary, because these people at these salaries didn't do their job. And as agriculture Sid Miller said yesterday, as $8 million of milk are being poured down the drain every day in this state, heads need to roll. I agree.
All right. We got 20 of these people listed on the front page here, and we haven't gone through the other 50 pages of this. Each of them making in the neighborhood of $250,000 a year on the low end, up to $883 on the high end. And, you know, but as Jim says, this is not the time to complain about things like that. We just have to work together. And I do feel a lot of love in this
should
room.
Roll,
I feel a lot
man.
Of love
head
in this
should
room.
Roll. Head should roll.
Okay. Cardinal, you're just so critical this morning. I don't know what's come over you. Jim Cardinal and Lynn Woolley.
Phone call.
After this is over, we're heading to Cancun. We'll be right back, folks. Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardinal and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Okay, did I just hear the climate czar John Kerry on CBS say, we have 9 years left? Remember, ladies and gentlemen,
that?
If we had listened to some of these things and they'd come true, they've been giving us these deadlines for years and years and years, and none of the things they say ever comes true. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you got to take it with a grain of salt. Meanwhile, I want to hear the clip again, if we can, Casey. Let's see. This would be cut number 5. This is Dan Woodfin, the Senior Director of Systems Operations at ERCOT. And then I'll make a point on something else I heard in that CBS News brief. Cut 5.
So we were at a level of frequency which was one that needed to be addressed immediately, and that's what the operators did. So I think, you know, if we hadn't taken action, it wouldn't have been that we would have waited a few days and saw what happened. It was seconds and minutes, given the amount of generation that was coming off the system at the same time that the demand was still going up significantly.
Yeah, and Jim Cardinal, you just heard CBS News tell us that we're entering officially the Paris Climate Accords today. And
yes.
About 25 minutes ago, you heard Chuck DeVore right here on
yes.
Talk 1370 tell us that the type of things that they are pushing is what got us into the mess we're in right now.
That's exactly right, Lynn. I'm almost at a loss from words having just gone through here a couple of discussion points with you, having your exceptional dynamics there, but in contrasting with these things, the Paris and the Climate Accords and the Green New Deal, all of these things are clear as the nose on our face now, I would hope and think, certainly to Texans, but maybe to American policymakers up in Washington, D.C., unserious, non-dependable sources of life and death electricity. We take for granted that power is going to be there when we hit the light switch, that when we come home, we can open our garage door, that when we turn on our water spigot, it's got hot water because the water heater's been powered by electricity. These things that the left and the political unicorn fairies and utopia folks want to have us move toward as a society are not only unrealistic, they're scary, and it's really kind of concerning. It takes one speech away, but we've got to stay focused and realize this is serious energy security discussions we're having for our nation's future.
Well, it really is. What did Megan Mulford say a minute ago? 23 degrees, I think, is about where we... Yeah, say again? Yeah, 23 right now. That's what I thought. So we've still got some freezing stuff and sludge and all that out on the roads, but it's going to warm up.
And let me mention, Lynn...
Go
what
ahead.
You said there, you're right. John Kerry and Al Gore 20 years ago told 30 years ago told Americans with a straight face and a serious tone in their voice that we had 12 years. This is an absolute joke. It ought to be called out for what it is. And hopefully Lynn Woolley's going to be all over this, calling them out for their hypocrisy.
No, well, I need your help. You know, I
yes.
can't be this angry alone. I need
yes.
help. Okay, let's get to some national stuff because this is our last shot at doing it. As you know, we are in day 3 in a world without Rush Limbaugh. Newsmax is a competitor to Fox News, and they had the ex-president on, the former president, and he talked with Greg Kelly and they had a little conversation about losing Rush Limbaugh. Cut one.
He lost a great one today. And Rush was just a unique character, but and a great friend to all of us. So we lost a really great gentleman today.
Well, he was very good to you. You were very good to him. It was really nice that he had a friend, and you had a friend in him. We all saw the Medal of Freedom moment. I understand that Rush was not as surprised as he conveyed at that moment, was he?
Well, he knew a little bit about it, and you know, we had to because he was quite ill. And, you know, his it's amazing that he lasted this long. Only a strong person could have. And he was actually at the hospital, and he came from the hospital, and the hospital was quite a distance away. And, frankly, in a state where he had to get on airplanes. And, you know, so we gave him a little bit of a clue. And he was very excited. He was great. That was more emotion than anything else, if you look at it. That was the real deal emotion.
I tell you what, it just distills, as a person who loves AM radio and FM too, but mostly AM, most of talk is AM, and having gotten my start by being inspired by this man, to think that his wisdom is not here anymore is tough to take, and there's going to be a big talk radio realignment, Jim. But here's something I want to ask your opinion on before we try to work in another clip of Donald Trump.
Sure.
And that is the New York Times has canceled or erased the man who produced Rush Limbaugh's show. His air name was Bo Snerdly. The New York Times wrote this: unlike Howard Stern, Don Imus, and other big names in shock radio, Limbaugh had no on-the-air sidekicks, although he had conversations with the unheard voice of someone he called Bo Snerdly, nor did he have writer scripts or outlines, just clippings. And then they talk about Snerdly, I guess, not even being a real person. Snerdly is a black man. His real name is James Golden. He is a conservative. And the New York Times is trying to cancel him? Is the word news, does it not mean anything to the New York Times anymore? Are they just making this stuff up as they go?
Well, that may very well be the case. We've seen it before. We've seen their admitted move toward advocacy. That was announced back a couple years ago as the Trump reelection campaign ramped up. And literally, you wouldn't believe this stuff if you didn't see it with your own two eyes or hear it with your own two ears. We know that this black man, just like Herman Cain, now deceased, God rest his soul, ran for president as a Republican, as a conservative, was a talk show host. The left cannot tolerate examples that dispel their unique and inaccurate descriptions and sales pitches to the American people. That, again, Lynn, you're right. This is just unbelievable, but is it exactly what they have to do in order to maintain their position of holier than thou?
Well, Jim,
and do for thee, not for me.
What I hear you saying is that they hate conservatives, but they really have a special place in
exactly.
of hatred in their heart for black conservatives, because they're not supposed
exactly.
to be conservative, and they're not authentically black if they're conservative. The New York
and
Times
Hispanic
ought to be embarrassed.
Yep.
By the way, Greg Kelly asked Trump about running for president in a couple of years. Cut two.
Well, we have tremendous support. I won't say yet, but we have tremendous support, and I'm looking at poll numbers that are through the roof. You saw what happened yesterday. We went up. I'm the only guy gets impeached, and my numbers go up. I'm going to figure that one out. Let's say somebody gets impeached. Typically, your numbers would go down. They would go down like a dead balloon, but the numbers are very good. They're very high. I think they're higher than they were before the election, and they were high at the election, and they liked the job. Look, we did a great job. We rebuilt our military. Think of it. We lowered taxes, got rid of regulations. How about Space Force? Just Space Force alone would be a big achievement.
Yeah, and there's going to be about 75 million people that would sure consider voting for him, Jim. Real quickly, we got to go to break and come back for the lightning round, but the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that would be ERCOT, expects to come out of energy emergency conditions later this morning. There is enough generation of the electric system to allow us to begin to return to more normal operating conditions, according to Senior Director of Systems Operations Dan Woodfin. That's the guy you heard on the clip just a couple of moments ago. No additional outages were needed overnight to keep the power supply and electric demand in balance. So we are, the bottom line, we are getting back to normal. But it was power outages at the main water treatment plant that has us with the boil water directive in place. Here in Austin, and that continues. Jim, the lightning round's coming up, and we'll do that in just a moment. Talk 1370, the right choice. We'll be back.
Hartle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
Ah, yes, Hartle and Woolley, where the logic never stops. Jim, I'm looking, as we start the lightning round, at the Texas Tribune. I love the website, love the Texas Tribune, love the idea behind it, but I wish they would move a little to the center. Here's their headline today. Already hit hard by pandemic, Black and Hispanic communities suffer the blows of an unforgiving winter storm. Jim, what they're saying, and using a term I hadn't heard, Texans of color are disproportionately devastated here because they tend to live in neighborhoods with older homes. Shouldn't the Texas Tribune, instead of making this a racial thing, shouldn't they say poor people who live in older homes are more vulnerable?
They absolutely should, but they absolutely won't. You got to remember, Lynn, that in order to have a divided country, you got to have divided groups of people. And that's what's going on with the political left, with the socialist Democrats, with this day and age of gotcha media. It just is beyond me. And you and I have talked about it. Why was it that 20 years ago, before Barack Obama started talking about racial systemic problems, there didn't seem to be any racial systemic problems? Sure, there are underlying issues, but if you talk about something and make mountains out of molehills, that's what you get, right, Lynn Woolley?
I think so.
I got to ask you, it along the same lines, if you want to keep Americans divided and polarized, you've got to keep the division between Americans as high as possible. Now Democrats nationally are the focus, but will Democrats next week at the state legislature, when we have hearings about all this ERCOT and all these power outages, will they be trying to insert race into the issue of economic provision of power?
I don't think they have the ability to debate anything without inserting race, Jim. Democrats are not capable of doing anything. Just as we talked about Rush Limbaugh, calling people people, looking into a crowd of people and seeing Americans, not seeing skin color and not seeing people who need all this government help, but rather need government to get out of their way so they can be the best they can be. Democrats are not freaking capable of seeing people like that. It does drive me nuts. Now, a question for you. I noticed a story by Brian Womack in the Dallas Business Journal. I think Austin is living rent-free in Dallas's head. They're talking about competition for tech companies. Talent heats up amid the coastal exodus. I don't think Fort Worth is Dallas's rival anymore, and I'm not sure Houston is. It's us. What do you make of it?
Well, there's something to that, Lynn. I was doing some research the other day. You and I have gotten in the habit of referring to Austin as the 11th largest city in America. I saw something that showed we have become the 10th largest city in America and moved by San Jose by 2,000 citizens. I think we're getting their homeless population moving from San Jose to the United States. To Austin. So yeah, it's a competition. Texas is the place everybody wants to be, and when you come to the place that everybody wants to be, you look to the state capital, and that's what's going on here. What do you think?
Well, on that issue, I think that when Texas City's biggest competition for company headquarters and new tech startups are other Texas cities, we're in the best position we could possibly be in.
You're right. I got to ask you, Lynn Woolley, speaking of Texas cities, the Joe Biden administration yesterday announced its major immigration reform plans. It fell like a tree in the forest. Is anybody paying attention to what Joe Biden's doing these days, and what does the White House think about that perspective?
Yeah, I'm paying attention to it. This was introduced by Democrat Senator Bob Menendez. It's called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021. It rewards 11 million people who came here illegally, that is, gate crashers, who came in here against our laws, knowing they were breaking our laws, and hoping for somebody in the White House exactly like Joe Biden. It's a travesty.
Listen to you.
It's a travesty, and I'll throw this back at you, too. One of the big headlines today, also involving Joe Biden and his disaster of a presidency, he's about to start up talks with Iran again. This after Trump had Iran on their knees. And what's Biden going to do, Jim?
Well, you know, Lynn, that's something we just can't cover everything, and that is something that is so important. I think the folks in the people who hate America in the Middle East right now are salivating at the Biden presidency and its lack of backbone. People that hate America in China, who are looking to expand their economic power and clearly want world dominance, used to, months ago, have to think about a semi-adversarial role of the United States. Now they're thinking, we've got Joe Biden's short hairs because his son is on tape and done things that they won't want to know in public. I think there's a real risk of this nation having some serious international conflicts right around the corner. One final question for you, Lynn Woolley. What's going on for the camp? Talk 1370. Casey Johns, Lynn Woolley, congratulations on a great week. Are you going to miss the camaraderie now that you're checking back out into the real world and not staying at the hotel?
I don't know. I think if we stayed here a lot longer, Casey would bring a surgeon in to separate us. So I think we're all looking forward to getting back to some normalcy.
I just got to say,
it has been an adventure. It really has been an adventure. It's been kind of fun in a strange sort of way.
It needs to be acknowledged and appreciated. Y'all been great this week.
Well, thank you for saying that. One final question for you. The headline on Fox News right now: Texas now grapples with water crisis as power returns to nearly 2 million homes. My question is, and we have exactly 1 minute left, will we do something about keeping the power up at water treatment plants when emergencies like this occur?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a very legitimate question. I think there can be specific, I don't know if legislative instruction is the way to do this, but certainly upping the focus. These regulators need to know that there are instances and best practices that should have been implemented. And as long as the transparency is there and we have the focus of a good crisis to keep them motivated, I think there will be some positive development like
that. All right, and that will put the plug in the jug for the Cardle and Woolley Show for this most incredible week, one of the most incredible weeks of our radio careers, certainly. Lynn Woolley here, the Secretary of Logic, saying be logical. And remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday morning, 7 a.m. right here on Talk 13.7.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.